Okay, TH, the World Peace 3. How humans finally learned from history. The right way. Or the hard way, as we shall still have to see. So, we have the me working there in Beijing, summer, or where was it? 'Those were tough years for me. I was '55 or something. With two very nice, but also rather active boys. Years old or so, yeah, something like that. And a Chinese wife. And now I found myself in the morning on an old bicycle in Beijing. On my way to a borrowed apartment just to get away during working hours from the apartment with said joyful, angry, laughing, screaming boys, and the likewise crew of Chinese ladies who took care of them. It was summer, almost 40 degrees Celsius every day, and the sun was constantly shining up there from a blue sky. And I sat on the fifth floor, top of an old apartment building that belonged to a television production facility. Where Grandma had once worked for retiring. And happily now playing with her grandsons. Let them be happy, and may they be happy, he thought, sitting in Grandma's old bed in her bedroom with his laptop in his lap. An AC a beautiful AC gear right in front of him, hanging on the wall, which he wasn't allowed to use because electricity cost, you know. Now, why am I telling this story? Well, I wanted you to follow me. I wanted to bring you to the reality of China, at least as it was today, that time, 2012. And as I heard, it still pretty much is. I thought of it, Beijing, as a thick pot of smog where you couldn't go outdoors without a face mask. I could hardly see across the street. There was smog maybe one or two days while we were during the year I was there altogether, mostly in the summer. Oh, actually, year around. Sometimes the air was thick of some slightly brownish mist, which was sand that came with the northern wind from when it blew from the from Mongolia. The Gobi Desert, whatever it's called. But mostly days were cloudless. and me, Swede, who was raised on and spoiled with and dependent on a constant supply of fresh air, spent days happily walking around in beautiful, old, classical Chinese parks, the Black Bamboo Park. If you go there, go there. Where in the mornings, which in the mornings, when the sun came up, was filled with happy retired people, happily exercising, dancing, playing instruments. Playing games to keep the body fit. And I realized, as one of our friends then, a rather famous, if not the most famous sculptor in China, Hao, said, at a Starbucks or whatever it was, that, you know, we have a very old culture. Thousands of years old, refined culture. Cannot be removed by 100 years of Western influence, communism. Well, that made sense, and I noticed that artists and others, even the government people, it seemed, because I met these top-level television producers on CCTV, this bestseller Yudan, who's a bestseller with this book about Tao philosophy and this book about Confucian philosophy, seen through the perspective of a woman and how this classical philosophy that has upheld Chinese civilization for thousands of years is relevant more than ever. Put that quote there. In this time of intense material development and so on, and you know, when she signed her latest book, this is how it looked like. Must have been a mile of line of people standing. Not to to greet the government officials, but a woman author, also professor at the university, a media professor, very sharp and very nice lady, who we then later met in Sweden too. She promoted her Swedish translation, the Swedish publication of her book. And we spoke to the people standing in line, old, young. Some had been standing 5 hours in line after spending 5 hours on a night train just to get her signature in that book because they liked it so much. We just stood there flabbergasted, as they say. And then this lady came up to us after looking at us for a long time and told us she is the producer for Yudan, and she's producer on CCTV. There are two of them who make a show there called Lecture Room, through which Yudan became so famous and big. And we realized probably the most expert producers that this Chinese television had, because and they said, because we met them more times, that they wouldn't reveal the secret to how they did it. They got intellectuals from the university who simply stood behind the speaker's pulpit talking for an hour. All classical philosophy and literature, and such simple format, but they knew, I think I figured out their secret, they knew the art of storytelling. So our story goes on here, but the point is, both with these ladies there taking care now of our two boys, and the people standing in line for that woman, and the artist making this and this and this, I just thought the Chinese are strong people and they have an old culture. It's a very advanced culture. But not only that, I could see that their level of technology, their level of that which makes countries elsewhere on the planet immensely proud of being civilized, was here at a level beyond that, surpassing that. And I could understand it made sense to me that the ones over there on the other side, you know, they used to be and are still allowed to be here, called imperialists and the colonialists, because that's exactly what they were. And of course, we know that, and we also heard in their media that this is not so anymore. We are now free, democratic, good. The greatest societies in the world. Have you ever heard that one before? So, looking from here, things started looking pretty different. So I think I want to start with this story about the strange beings called humans on this beautiful planet, Bhumi or Earth, by telling just that, the China story. And you will soon, as we go along, because it's also nice, an interesting story, you will see what I mean. Things look very different from here, looking from the east to the west, rather than where I grew up, looking from the west to the east.